in Mark chapter 4 this morning. We're looking particularly at verses 3 and 4 and verses 14 and 15. And what I'm proposing to do for a few weeks is to look in some detail at the parable of the sower. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the disciples and told them that if they did not understand this parable, then they would have difficulty in understanding any of the parables. So for us to get to grips with this central and foundational parable would be a good start for us in a new year. And in verses 3 and 4, Jesus speaks and he says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it, ate it." And then as he explains the parable to the disciples, verse 14, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." And there's no doubt that the central message of this parable is that the state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. The state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. The seed is the word of God. But a crop, fruit, depends not on the character of the sower, not even on the quality of the seed in this parable, but in every instance on the heart that either does or does not receive the word of God. That's the overarching thrust of the parable. The state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. And what I want to do this morning is look at the first of four kinds of soil. The soil on the wayside, as it's described in verse 4, footpath. It represents the hard heart. We're all familiar with the picture of footpaths that either go through or quite often around the edge of a farmer's field. The footpath is not concrete or tarmac. It's hard, packed soil. A path where people over the years have trodden down the earth and it becomes hard. And here, as the farmer goes out and sows his seed, some seed falls on the wayside, falls on one of those footpaths. And because the soil is hard, the seed remains on the surface. And the birds notice the seed lying on that hard, packed soil. And the birds have a meal at the expense of the farmer. Like the pigeons in my back garden sometimes have a meal of grass seed at my expense. The birds spot seed and they'll come and eat it because the ground is hard. And it is something that may even have been happening nearby as Jesus was speaking. Because Jesus says, "Listen," verse 3, "behold, look." And it may have been literally that they could have looked and somewhere nearby in the open air, as Jesus is in the boat and they're on the seashore, nearby in a field, there may well have been a sower sowing. And the people could see the parable enacted before their eyes, birds swooping down and pecking up and eating the seed as it was being sown because it fell on a footpath. And as Jesus explains the parable in verse 15, he says, "These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Matthew, in his account of the same parable, says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside." So the wayside represents the hard heart. A person who hears the word of God but doesn't receive it, doesn't understand it, doesn't take it to heart. And the devil, the great adversary of the human soul, comes and snatches away the seed. Person has heard of God's mercy in the person and work of his son, Jesus Christ. Someone who's heard that word of the kingdom that the offended God has taken the initiative to beat a path to sinful men and women like you and me in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, and calls you this morning to turn to him, to believe upon Jesus Christ, and to receive the great blessings that can be yours in the offered Saviour, Jesus Christ. That if you trust in him, trust in Jesus, you will be reconciled to God. Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross and offers a free justification, a right standing before God. You'll be counted not guilty before God if you believe upon God's promised Saviour. So Jesus offers you pardon, new life. And a person hears those things, but a person hearing them, it's as if that person hasn't heard them. Doesn't understand them, doesn't get it. Sees no suitability in that message to their needs. We see it in this world around us. If someone speaks about how to make easy money, people are all ears. If people speak about some new pleasure, people are all ears. But someone speaks about the kingdom of God, about sin, about salvation, about repentance and faith, turning to God, a life of holiness, speak in the clearest way possible. Speak with authority. Speak with passion even. But people say, what's he on about? I just don't get it. It's not because the preacher has used high-flown words. It's not because the preacher has made it all very philosophical and difficult to understand. The preacher tries to explain in a simple way. State, illustrate, apply. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, says the Bible, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Maybe that's a picture of you this morning. You don't see the suitability of the message of God's word. You don't see anything suited in it to your heart, to your need, to your standing before God. Your attitude is, there's nothing in this for me. And that heart, says Jesus, is like the packed soil on a hard footpath. And then there's this activity of Satan, the devil, pictured in birds coming down, swooping down, snatching the seed away. And as in nature, so in the realm of the spiritual, the devil snatches away the seed of the word of God from hard hearts so that people don't receive the message. Don't reflect on the message. Don't meditate on the message. Don't ask God that the message take root in their hearts. No, the devil has this intention. Luke says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This isn't just entertainment for the devil. The devil comes and takes away the word out of the heart, lest you should believe and be saved, says Luke. So the first truth we need to look at this morning, and in a way it's a frightening truth, but it's in the parable and I must preach it, is the activity of the devil. Because Jesus says that in this world there is a present, powerful activity of the devil to try and stop a saving reception of the seed of the word of God. And that's the teaching of the Bible everywhere. Ephesians 2 verse 2 speaks of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 3 and 4, Paul says, our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe. 2 Timothy 2:26 speaks of those who are in the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So the word of God says, you may not take the devil seriously, but he takes you seriously. He wants to stop you hearing and believing the gospel. Because if you are not saved, what are you? You are lost. And the devil wants you to be lost. To be lost forever with him. And if the devil can drag you down to hell, he will, as part of his defiance of God. So Jesus says there is this present activity of the devil. He does all he can to stop people believing the word of God. How does the devil work? In thousands of ways, distracting you. Your mind wanders away. Perhaps you're distracted by the mobile phone, or by someone talking to you, or a critical spirit that says, until I can figure all this out, I can't believe it. I see today more and more confusion in the media, on the BBC, for example. Great confusion. No understanding at all of what the message of the gospel really is. And what is behind that media confusion? Jesus says there is this activity of the devil to stop people believing. So in hearing the word of God, there are not just the everyday issues, if I can put them like that, of someone who's here this morning but who's not feeling 100%, someone who's kept awake last night by a crying child, someone who has a pressing problem that's preoccupying them. But there's more than that. There's this combat with the devil, the forces of darkness, where the devil injects into your mind. This is just the preacher talking. Why doesn't he stop and we can all go home and watch TV? See? Why is that happening? Where do thoughts like that come from? Well, the devil says, I'm going to snatch the seed away. Whereas, as we hear the message of the Bible, we need to think, well, where do I stand before God? What will happen when I meet with God? Who is Jesus? Who is this one that God sent into this world to bring salvation? Where do I stand in my relationship to Jesus Christ, to the claims of Jesus, the grace of Jesus? The things that should fill our minds don't, because the devil comes and snatches things like that away. Why is it hard to read the Bible, to pray? Why is our mind taken off here, there, and everywhere? Well, there's this activity of the devil, says Jesus. J.C. Ryle, in his own inimitable way, said, perhaps nowhere is the devil more active than in a congregation of Christians under the preaching of the word of God. So that's why we need to pray Thursday by Thursday, that as we come to hear the word of God, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, that God will restrain the powers of darkness and cause hearts to be receptive to his word. Because there is this present activity of the devil, who will, if he can, snatch the seed away. The activity of the devil. Secondly, the hardness of the human heart. That's a clear application of this parable. A hard, unplowed heart will not receive the message of the kingdom of God. Salvation. Forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Yes, this farmer is sowing in a field where the plough had cut and crossed the land with an ox pulling a plough, but the farmer didn't take his plough across the footpath. On the footpath, the soil was hard. And the farmer understood people had a way of walking through his field or around the edge of his field. Well, he never bothered to have his ox pull the plough over that soil. And the soil became more and more tightly packed until it became, yes, like concrete. And that's a picture, says Jesus, of the natural human heart. The seed was good, but the footpath soil was so hard, nothing could grow in it. So the hard soil of the heart needs to be cut up, Jesus is saying. The plough, as it were, of God's holy law cuts into the human hard heart and crisscrosses it, turns the soil over. The soil must be cut into and turned over before it can receive the seed of the word of God. Now again, this is what Jesus had been doing in the Sermon on the Mount. He'd been talking to people whose hearts were hard. They'd been trodden down by a religious mentality that said, God is only concerned about the outside. If you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right things, in the company of the right people, all is fine, just the outside. So what did Jesus do? He took a plough. He took God's law. And he crisscrossed their hearts with God's law. And he said to them, you've heard that it was said, but I say to you. You may have heard it said, don't commit murder. But I'm saying to you, said Jesus, you may never have laid hands with violence on someone. You may not have actually stabbed someone. But you've had anger burning in your heart. And that anger that's burnt in your heart means you've committed many murders. What was Jesus doing? The plough was cutting the heart. You may not have arranged to meet another man's wife somewhere secretly. But you've looked at women as they've walked past you and you've thought, and in your heart, you committed adultery. And the plough cut into the heart again. What was Jesus doing? He was using the plough of God's law to turn over that hard-packed soil. And it's true with our hard hearts. When we hear about God's standards, perhaps you've heard about God's law, but you resist God's standards. You reject any need for mercy because you reject the God who speaks in his word so clearly as to what his standards are. And you need to cry out to God that he will give you a new heart. You'll turn that hard heart over. A heart that will receive the seed of the word of God. And then you pray it into your life. A heart that will think seriously about Jesus and forgiveness and peace and heaven. But a hard, unplowed heart will never receive the seed of the word of God. So Jesus speaks here about the activity of the devil. He speaks about the hardness of the human heart. Thirdly, he speaks about the sowing of the gospel. Because here we have a wonderful picture of the free offer of the gospel, as it's called. In other words, that the gospel is freely offered to everyone. When the sower went out to sow, he sowed his seed everywhere. He wasn't too fastidious. He wanted to find every inch of good soil. So he wasn't overly concerned if some seed fell on the footpath because he wanted to reach every inch of good soil. And it's a picture to us of God's command to the Church of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to all creation. That's what we're to do. Cast out gospel seed. Even when it looks hard, sow gospel seed. Because you don't know, I don't know, none of us know, there may be a patch of good soil. Soil that will receive the word and bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. So don't be discouraged as you sow gospel seed. We gave out how many thousand Christmas invitations this year? We've done that for a number of years now. Are we going to say, well, because not so many people came, we'll stop doing it? Now, I want to find effective ways to reach people. But we must keep sowing the seed. We keep going because, yes, there are people whose hearts are like this footpath. Hard, will not receive the message. Read the message, throw it in the bin. There'll be those who read it, don't understand. Those who say, don't bother me. I've got more important things to think about. But you don't stop. Don't stop sowing. Keep sowing the seed of the word of God. Galatians 6 verse 9. In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, says the Bible. And sometimes in the most unlikely places, God has good soil. You keep sowing the seed. It's your task, it's my task. I had a friend in Sheffield, his name was Mike Searle. He was a Wycliffe preacher. And then he retired, but he kept being involved in all sorts of ways in gospel work. And on one occasion, I was speaking to him about this parable. I said, some seed fell on good soil. We must pray about that. I said, it'd be great, Mike. Yeah, we must pray about it. And from that day on, almost every prayer meeting, he would come and he would say, Lord, you've promised some seed will fall on good soil. Some seed will fall on good soil. And he kept going. And then one day, as he was sowing seed, a young man from Iraq approached him in Sheffield. And he was giving out copies of the Bible. And this young man from Iraq said to him, I'd like to come to church and find out more about the Christian faith. And Mike thought to himself, it's going to be a bit difficult because it was a Wednesday morning, and Wednesday evening in Sheffield was our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. But he thought, well, he's keen, he wants to come. He brought him to a Bible study and prayer meeting. It was the first time he'd ever entered a Christian church. And that young man was one of the first Kurdish converts in Sheffield and is now involved in work amongst Kurdish people in Sheffield, spreading the gospel, bringing forth fruit hundredfold. So you keep, and sometimes in the most unlikely settings, a young man from Iraq, a Kurdish man, no idea about the gospel, comes to a Bible study and prayer meeting and there is converted. Because he asked me at the end of the meeting, these people, he said to me, these people talk to God as if they know God. I don't know God. How can I know God? Sowing gospel seed. So the Son of God, as he was sitting in that boat by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he knew in that crowd on the seashore, there were some whose hearts were like a footpath, wayside soil, hard. But Jesus preached to all of them. And we must keep doing the same thing. And then fourthly and finally, the message of the kingdom. Because the message, the main message of the parable is very clear that if you're going to understand and receive the message of salvation, you must receive it into your heart if you're going to be saved. The seed in this parable is the word of God, the message of the kingdom. The wayside soil never received the seed. The hard soil meant the seed was rejected. And Jesus is saying in the plainest terms possible, if you're to be saved, you must understand and receive the message of the gospel into your heart. If you don't, what will happen? The devil will come and snatch it away. There must be this work of illumination of the Holy Spirit in the mind and a work of the Spirit in the heart so that the message of the gospel is understood and received. That message about Jesus Christ, who he is in his glorious person as God and man, his life of perfect obedience, his substitutionary death on the cross for our wrongdoing, his resurrection from the dead, his coronation at the right hand of God the Father, the one who grants the Holy Spirit to those who will trust in him. God's real provision for you this morning to understand the message of the gospel, but also then not just some academic, intellectual response, but a heart, a wholehearted response. That in the heart and from the heart, you will receive the message of the word of God. Listen to the Apostle Paul being commissioned by the risen Lord Jesus Christ, where the same principle is emphasized. Acts 26, verse 16. The Apostle Paul is told by Jesus, "Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And Paul is sent to do what? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, says Jesus. And the first step, you notice there, to open their eyes, that they'll understand the message you preach. That this message is not the message of some fool or some fanatic, but it's a message from God, that all men and women have fallen short of God's standards. But God in his mercy has sent Jesus Christ into this world to live for us a life of holiness, that by faith in him we might have forgiveness of sins. To open their eyes. So Paul, when you preach, your message won't sound like the babbling of some fool, someone out of touch with reality, someone who's living in the last century. But they'll see in Jesus Christ a way of hope and forgiveness and pardon and peace with God. And they'll trust in that Saviour with their whole heart. The gospel seed, not falling on a hard footpath, will be received into receptive hearts and bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. If you're a Christian this morning, in this new year, God can use you to be a person who sows gospel seed. Parents to children, loved ones to relatives, friends to neighbours, workers to colleagues, witnesses in all sorts of ways. In a way, every preacher reenacts this parable every time the gospel is preached. But we all know if God doesn't open someone's eyes, the clearest, plainest presentation of the gospel will be like seed sown on a hard footpath. Some will not give it a second thought. That's why we must not be unwise and try to browbeat people into believing the gospel. Unwisely pushing people in ways that are over the top. No, you can plainly explain the gospel to someone, but what is needed is that work of the Holy Spirit. You don't browbeat someone into the kingdom of God. It is the Holy Spirit who must give understanding. And then a heart that receives that word. The word that tells us this morning that made in God's image and yet living lives in rebellion against him means living a life hanging by a thread of sovereignty from God's judgment. And you can then explain the gospel of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and some people will then go home, turn on the TV, and not give spiritual things a second thought. And so there's this need for God to open the eyes and to grant a new heart. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you don't know forgiveness and acceptance before God on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done, then I'm saying to you, don't be comfortable or blasé and laid back and you say, well, why should I bother with any of this? No, says Jesus, the hard heart is a heart in danger before God. Ask God to show you your real condition and to show you what the gospel really means, that you may understand it, but then also receive it into your heart. That your heart will not be this morning like the wayside soil, hard, rejecting. But by God's grace will be good soil that understands, then receives the message of the kingdom of God, brings forth fruit, repentance, turning from sin to God, faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto everlasting life, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Well, let's pray that God will enable it so to work. Let's pray. Lord, we turn to you this morning. We thank you that your word, that seed, as it is sown in our hearts this morning, we pray for hearts that will not be like that hard, packed soil of the wayside, but hearts that will be good soil, bringing forth fruit to your glory, 30, 60, 100-fold. And Lord, in our life and witness in weeks and months and years to come, that we may see much fruit being brought as we seek to sow the seed of your word as widely as we can in this area and in this city and even in other nations of the world. And to that end, Lord, we pray for the promised power and help of the Holy Spirit to open eyes and soften hearts to God's glory. Hear us as we come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn in our hymn book 347, which actually uses this very picture that we've been thinking about this morning. Almighty God, your word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit, now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound. 347. Now with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.